Tired of hangovers stealing your precious time? Say bye-bye to regret and hello to prevention with Akalo wearable vitamin patches.
Made in the USA with pharmaceutical-grade materials, these patches are your secret weapon to stopping hangovers before they start. This is the first time they've run a promo like this.
For a limited time, first-time buyers get 50% off.
Don't lose another moment to a hangover.
Go to akalo.co and enter POOG50 to get yours today.
That's akalo.co, code POOG50. Cheers to a hangover-free life.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Kate Berlant.
I'm Jacqueline Novak.
And this is Poog, an ongoing conversation about wellness between two obsessive friends.
Two untamable intellects.
This is our hobby.
This is our hell.
This is our naked desire for free products.
This is Poog. Today's topics?
Loosely speaking.
Sully, ice cream cone, vein of gold.
Well, I
feel the same. Heaven to see you.
It's so good to see you. I just want to remind the listeners, we are in a Zoom chat right now. We're able to see each other through the digital screen.
Absolutely.
So today we really are aiming to focus around the topic of ADD and focus. Jacqueline, you and I both are no stranger to the demonic presence of ADD, the inability to focus, whatnot. Although I guess hyperfocus comes in. You actually have hyperfocus.
That's going to be the key. Yes, that's going to be a key theme in today's conversation.
It's so complicated. And I'm operating at the brutal intersection of ADD and OCD,
which
my therapist, you know, urges me to take Adderall. Adderall, of course, is one of the most powerful evil drugs on the market. Ruined a couple years of my life as a teenager.
Right.
And so I was very hesitant. Today, I did take, I cracked a pill in half. I'm on 5 milligrams. Can't you tell in my voice that I'm anchored by the demonic presence
of
Adderall?
Actually, there is a grounding. It's as if a thick cord is tethering you to the earth and being held by, you know, a strong, not the devil, but a lower level demon kind of.
It's a lower
level. And I don't even mean it negatively. It's a lower
level
demon who's holding onto the rope and keeping you tight to earth. And you know, there is some question about whether demons are bad. So as we say, you're being tethered by a demon. That might not even be a bad thing. Hold
a playful demon. Well, that's the thing. I haven't taken it in months because I just... What is the feeling of being on Adderall? I mean, it's awful.
Really?
But it's also...
Wait.
No, right now it feels great. There's like the euphoria. And again, I'm on a low dose, but it's like there is a certain euphoria that kicks in, and it really is, God help me, it really does help. Yeah, focus. Like I took Adderall to read and write in college, yeah. And then of course in grad school. And I do remember one time writing in the library in New York City, living my Felicity Porter fantasy.
Yeah.
So high on Adderall, writing my master's thesis. I repeat, master's thesis. Yeah. Hideousness? Yeah, Sublime Hideousness. It was about liminality and... Oh my God,
did you say liminality?
Yeah, liminality.
Because I feel like I'm one of the only people who ever uses the word liminal, okay?
Liminality was my huge... Oh my God.
I'm joking with the ego of it, but I'm also not. You know what I mean?
No, I
feel like I'm constantly referencing liminal space.
Yeah. Liminality, referring to, dear listener, that which is not here nor there, kind of an in-between place, considered sacred by some, considered perhaps the only real plane for subversion, yes. And
modes
of exploration. Richard Schechner, the
airport,
or Victor Turner, actually, I guess, originated it. Us talking over each other completely.
quietly.
The airport.
But the airport as a space of spiritual liminality for me.
Whoa, I'm stopping you right there. Have we talked about this? Have we talked about the airport as a space of spiritual liminality?
Only...
Because Jacqueline...
That's no joke for me, and it always has been.
Okay. Stop.
Basically, the moment I learned the word liminal, I was... Okay, leave me in the airport.
The airport is... the only modern space. It's the only modern church. It's the only place, yes. We're actually able to cast off our personalities and our daily limitations and finally exist. It's also the most perverse and outwardly sexual area of modern life. It's the only place that we can finally just... I'm being flooded.
I know. I'm like, there's such an excitement to talk about liminality in the airport. Okay?
I can't believe we've never talked about the airport like this.
No, this is huge.
Seeing someone that you know and love at the airport, meeting them at the airport, yes. That is such a beautiful moment of union. And the airport, it's the only place where we're fully like domed. It's like the airport is like, get in line, bitch.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? It's like we're all kind of reduced to these like bodies that have to move.
Yeah.
And there's something, there's like an anger or hostility that comes with like, I have to follow the rules and get in line. But it's such
a when you give ecstatic release
because you're finally free from choice and you're just forced into the liberation of restriction of get in line and take your shoes off, you filthy bitch. You know,
there's
something about it. And your personality kind of ceases to exist or tries to fight through in moments of, oh God, 6 a.m., right? Can you believe it? Right. It's like kind of that.
Oh, right. To the others. Like, yeah. Remind me to tell you about the captain in line.
What?
I said, remind me to tell you about the captain in line.
Well, go for it.
So I'm big on, and sometimes I don't like it in myself. Sometimes I do like it. It's a shared glance with a fellow crowdmate.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand it, but I love it. I love to look to find shared glances about something that's happening around us. Right. Anyway. I was really proud. I was waiting online at a small airport. There was a long line for the one little kiosk of bagels and coffee and whatever. And I see a pilot, you know, captain's hat and all, okay, dressed to the nines, okay, and in his formal briefs.
So kinky, it's insane. Like pilots actually dress up like that. Like
a little cat with metallic figures on it and things like that, whatever, and the dignity, right? Well, you know I'm obsessed with Captain Sullen Sullenberger, right? You know I'm a Sully head.
You mean, oh, is that the guy who is that the Hudson guy?
Sully is Miracle on the Hudson,
Sully,
which I witnessed. I witnessed the Miracle on the Hudson.
What do you mean?
Before it landed, but I saw it flying low. I was in a car driving up the West Side Highway.
No,
talking to my friend Erica, who grew up in New York. And sometimes, because I was from the suburbs, you know, sometimes we'll like to tell me, you know, this is how it is. And so I go, there's a plane flying unusually low over the Hudson in a direction I've never seen. And it's one of those things where it's like, you don't know why you haven't seen it before. But when you see something you haven't seen before, you know, it's like, you know what I mean? You're just like, I've never seen that. It's not like I know the flight path very well, but I'm always on the West Side Highway heading to the burbs. So I know that route. And I say it, and Erica's like, oh, no, that's... they're always like that there.
Yeah. Whatever.
You know, they're going to Newark or something.
Unbelievable.
I'm like, no, it's really low. And then we talk about what it would be like to go down in a crash. We talk about that for a while. I arrive back at my parents' house in the burbs. My dad says, a plane just landed on the Hudson. Did you see this? And I go, I saw it.
That's miraculous.
It's major. And, you know, and there was this thing that we sometimes laugh about in the home over here, me and my partner, Chris. Okay, we're really into how at the time people were like, because there was something really cheesy about it. They're like, New York needed this. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Do you remember that messaging? It was
I don't remember that.
It was
literally
9/11. It was like, you know, like after 9/11,
a healing.
We needed a good story about a plane here.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I forget who said it, but it was said a couple times. Anyway, Sullen. So I'm in line and thing, And we're all standing there, and the captain, or the, why do I keep saying captain? Is that right? Is that correct? Can you be a captain of a ship?
A pilot? Please? A captain? Pilot.
No, but the pilot, the main one, is he captain? This is your captain speaking.
Oh, this is the captain speaking.
You've heard that. You know that.
You're reminding me of when I had a clearly drunk captain yammering on the overhead. But keep going. Because by the way, of course, what is it, like birds of a feather? It's like the AA for pilots. Anyway, keep going. Yeah, there's a whole...
No, they're called birds of a feather. You're killing me.
Yeah, it's something about like, of course pilots need fucking 12-step for alcoholism.
But why? I mean, inherently, why?
Just because...
I mean, you're saying it like, of course. Like, I just mean like,
then of course,
what else are they going to do?
Addicts or, of course, alcoholics end up being pilots.
You mean specifically, or you mean one in 10 is an addict?
Alcoholics are all...
No, right. So, of course, there's them too, right? I thought you were suggesting that piloting itself leads to...
A lot of layovers, honey. A lot of Bloody Marys in between flights. A lot of BJs in the terminal, okay?
Right. The sexuality... of
flying a plane.
Well, yes, but also the
pulsating masses,
stewards. You know what I'm trying to say? The what do they call them now?
Flight attendants.
Right. A steward and stewardess. No, but all the costuming.
All the costuming. I mean, it's asking for it alone.
And you know, I remember as a child being disturbed to realize that the government, like, that planes weren't a government operation. Okay, they're like a private business.
Yeah.
Because I was like, wait, you mean like we're just trusting like a business that saying that they can carry you through the air? Like, I just assumed like something that big, you know, sending you flying into the air.
Right.
With nothing but aerodynamics at play. Okay, but I want to say about the captain thing, but then remind me about the wheels.
Okay.
So the story is a non-story, but this is an ADD thing, right? The story that I'm trying to say about being in line with the captain is mentally, it's a physical place where my mind can hold on. Do you see what I'm saying? So I'm like, wait, I know we have to go back to that space in line in that airport. I can't remember what city. Do you see what I'm saying? It's kind of interesting. But I want to get that out. And then I really...
I'm a little confused.
Sorry. So I keep being like, I want to get back to the story about the captain. And it's not because there's some big finish to it. As is typical for me, what I consider a story is what others would not consider a story. Okay. Maybe I'm not using the right word. Okay. But it's a slice of life, I guess. I don't know. I consider it both my fault and my gift.
I love your stories. I prefer your stories.
But I'm saying this as ADD because I'm realizing my desire to go back to that is because it's one mental tethering of the conversation, which is merely the image I have in my head that I still haven't tethered you to. You know what I mean? So I'm just going to say it. But I have questions. There's a lot of things that have been opened here and I want to hit them all. Okay. Which is where my OCD features intersect with ADD. And we'll get to that later. But my mother, there's obsessive on that side. Absolutely no compulsion.
Yeah, I have no compulsions. I have pure obsessive.
Yes, much like my mother. And because what I think is in the family line is a confluence of, maybe that's not right, a comorbidity of ADD and OCD. And the question is, which came first?
We've never talked
about
this.
Creating the other? Because like both my parents are ADD, I believe. And I mean, just
mine too.
Clearly, like, you know, glasses in the freezer, all that stuff, right? And I think my dad kind of could do hyper-focus. You know,
my dad was hyper-focused on anything except me.
Right. Well, dairy or daddy.
What?
Dairy or daddy
You,
okay, right. is like, you know, sorry to always be referencing our own work. Okay, pull me back. I have so much.
Talk about your captain story.
No, I want to finish the captains. Yeah, so we'll get all to that. But Sully, the captain story, the sexuality of the costuming, right? Oh, yes. I can't believe like that the government isn't in charge of all this. Like, it just seemed like I'm just trusting whatever. Point is, very into Sully. Okay, sorry, hold on. Miracle on the Hudson, very into Sully. Oh, well, like one of my, well, the non-story from earlier that I'll just finish so it's not nagging at me is merely we're in line. The captain, dressed to the nines, steps up and gets in line behind us on this carpeted little weird area of the small airport. And we're all waiting. And I look around and kind of try to capture the gaze of the others in line. And I say, Captain, surely we can let the captain go ahead of us.
Right. I was going to say.
That's the story. Isn't it fantastic?
And then he did?
He tried to humbly decline the offer. I think he humbly declined. And I looked around at the others like, really? No one's going to back me up and push us further? You know what I mean? Like, seriously, you want him staring at the back of your head while you get a bagel?
At the Au Bon Pain kiosk.
Au Bon Pain?
I call it Au Bon Pain. I'm not a fan.
Do you remember the bowl bread?
No. Oh, like a soup bowl?
Yeah, but made of bread.
No.
Hollowed out.
Yeah, no.
And that is a classic case of something that, God, when it first came out, it was like, holy shit.
Yeah, but when did that come out? It seems like something of like the 50s.
In a Palm Springs restaurant.
Like the prosperity of America. Diane. Right, this like, our bowls are bread now. Like, it just seems like that.
Have you ever eaten it out of a bread?
No.
Wait, but the liminality of the airplane. Okay, the liminality. Yes, yes. Okay.
So the freedom.
I want to get into this.
Being able to cast off your personality, that like being free at last. Because when you're in an airport or in a plane, you're nowhere. You're in between places. Yes. It's this ontological crisis of location. And what are you able to be when you're nowhere?
Ontology is meaning, right?
Yeah. Like the nature of the thing, like the thing itself.
Ontological crisis is a meaning crisis, essentially,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because ontological is one I would always struggle with remembering because I knew it was something so, like, such a pure idea. Like,
yes.
It's like there's no visualization for it, so I can't remember the word.
Right.
So it's
right.
Almost like ontology. What is it? I know it's something really.
It's like the thing itself.
It's like, how can you remember a word for the thing itself? It's utter abstraction.
You only need like 6 words to appear smart.
Well, okay, what are your 6 that you lean on? Because
that's such a good question. I love that.
We talked about this last week about me leaning on the phrase groaning under the weight for the last 15 years.
Yeah, groaning under the weight's huge. I think, I used to say hegemonic a lot. I used to be like hegemony, hegemonic constructions of desire.
Well, saying hegemony is really satisfying.
Yeah, absolutely. Saying hegemonic was really exciting.
I'm always a little afraid when I say it that I'm actually going to say like, hegemony or hemogeny or something like there's a fear of fucking it up if you can really land hegemony.
I know,
landing words. Okay, so obviously we did mention last week jettison and abjection.
Yes.
You know, jettison from you is jettison is amazing.
Jettison's great.
Jettison used kind of in that intellectual capacity. But wait, all right, you can
to radically jettison. What are the other big ones? That
I was
really
gonna try to be like, what are words you've said?
Oh yeah, calcify. I used to.
Well, calcify to me actually crosses over for you into like the like calcify is such a funny word, right? That like to me that's like we agree that referring to our brain as calcified, like there's something about that it makes me feel something in my stomach when I hear you say it, and then I hear it and I want more.
I used to just, I think for me mostly, I just have always really used hyperbole.
Yes.
I've always used really hyperbolic language.
Yes.
And that's been in my act, of course, but then also my personal life.
Yes.
And so I used to really rely on words like violence, brutality.
Well, violent is pretty big for me. Heinous, is huge for me. You know, heinous is
heinous, hideous.
Hideous and heinous are big.
Yeah.
They come down through the family for me. There's a little bit of a Jewish hyperbole.
You really inspired me with the use of hideous.
Thank you. Yeah, just
unbearable, insufferable.
Brutal.
I mean, I've always relied on words like
assault.
That. Yeah, the brutality.
Wait, what was the last one you said, Kate?
Brutality.
Yes. No, brutal and all that language.
Banality, the brutality of the banal brutality of, of daily life.
Yes.
Yeah. The violence of breakfast.
Exactly. No, the violence of is like really satisfying.
Well, like, and humiliation.
Well, that is
structural humiliation. I used to be really into talking about structural humiliation.
No, yes. Or also mortification. I was like stewing on that the other day. Like, you and me are both very into humiliation, mortification.
Well, guess what?
I am mortified for you, but like being about a building or something is
formal.
Is like our sweet spot.
I'm always interested in reducing things to those formal elements.
yes.
And then also, I mean, of course, I'm not even going to say the word affect. I'm not going to talk about affect because we don't have time.
Oh.
But the affective and also like affective, you know, the affective.
Affect is huge.
Yeah.
Affect is really satifying.
I like jettison, casting off, sloughing off.
Yes.
Shedding.
Oh.
I was thinking,
there's another word like that that has to do with sort of a violent othering that. Is a sudden.
Ooh.
Oh, you know what I've been leaning on a lot recently?
What?
Shuttling. Okay, now it doesn't seem big.
Oh.
but like I found myself like 3 times when I'm writing recently, like, and therefore it allows you to shuttle back and forth between.
Mm.
Okay, and then this and that.
Mm-hmm,
but the shuttling, the sort of violence of a shuttle.
Moving. I mean, shuttles are the lowest form of life. I mean, if you're ever on a shuttle, you're fucked.
No, exactly. But that's why applying a shuttle, okay, the mind can. Oh, I'm big on gestalt.
Oh, uh-huh. Of course.
I'm big on
that, which cannot be harnessed by language.
you know, harness is a nice word for me.
Reduce.
I can't think of anyone. Oh, extreme reductions are.
I like to be being reduced to. I'm constantly reducing myself.
Oh, well, you know what? I'm huge on it. Okay, here it is. Yeah. Here it is. It's not the word itself, but it's a type of situation, which is when you make a noun into an adjective and the syllabic intonation must shift forward. That to me is a goddamn
example needed
flex.
Urgently.
It's coming.
Example needed urgently.
It's coming and I can't wait. Okay, so I love describing how an adjective, okay, or how a noun, okay, might serve as an adjective when used adjectivally.
Oh my God.
Okay, adjectival. Okay, so an adjective or something being adjectival. Okay.
Adjectival? I've never heard it said.
Yes, so I go adjectival a lot. And what's satisfying is the word adjectival is an example of this very thing I'm describing.
Adjectivize a noun now. Like what?
Adjective is a noun. Adjectival.
I know. But I'm like, is there another one that you can give me?
Of course. Name anything. Medicinal.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Okay, now that one you're familiar with. Okay, I glanced down, I saw my Wellbutrin, and I remember my friend once did this, and I don't even think this one works, but she did it anyway and with confidence, and I was impressed, which was talking about characters in a script or something, and then going like caricatural, is not, I don't think, a word. It doesn't even work.
No,
but she did it. She's like caricatural. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, it's an adjective. Okay, give me a goddamn noun, and I'll do it.
I know. No, I'm thinking, I'm glancing around. Let's think about a hot noun to adjectivize as we go to break.
Okay, great. Want to know one of my favorite sounds? Here it is.
That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel.
And if you want to learn a new language this year, I guarantee it'll be one of your favorite sounds too.
Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works.
Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching.
So you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world.
Babbel is convenient. Kate and I talk about it all the time.
Love the way Babbel helps you for those quick real-world interactions.
Like how to order food or ask for directions. How to have a decent conversation with a merchant.
And who doesn't want to go on vacation and know the language?
Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee.
Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners.
Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/poog. Get 60% off at babbel.com/poog.
Spelled babbel.com/poog. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Tired of hangovers stealing your precious time? Say bye-bye to regret and hello to prevention with Akalo wearable vitamin patches.
Made in the USA with pharmaceutical-grade materials, these patches are your secret weapon to stopping hangovers before they start. This is the first time they've run a promo like this.
For a limited time, first-time buyers get 50% off.
Don't lose another moment to a hangover.
Go to akalo.co and enter POOG50 to get yours today.
That's akalo.co, code POOG50. Cheers to a hangover-free life.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I actually didn't do any thinking on the break.
Nor did I.
But I'm very excited. About, I am sort of levitating in my seat because I get very, very excited when we get to talk about words. Okay.
I know.
I mean, I guess what I'm saying is that, you know, not just the adjective thing, right? But what's the word? Conjugating a verb. Like, anytime you do one that's a little bit unfamiliar or isn't the thing that people are always doing, okay, like the derivation, there's some satisfaction. So like, even like getting something out without stuttering, like, pursuant, okay, if you were like to switch something into pursuant versus, you know, pursuing or something, right?
Yeah,
there's a little bit of like, there's like a satisfying flex of like pursuant.
I'm having an ADD moment because you said conjugate and then I got flooded with the memory of being in Latin class in the seventh grade and I was completely unable to do Latin. I could not figure it out. And
interesting,
the sweet Latin teacher, Dr. A, who is this guy who had an album, had a bongo album, who was like really sweet.
Montessori education or
no, shockingly, but he I just want to say quickly that he was so positive and like really was such an angel, and he would give people A pluses and the school had to come down on him and say, you cannot give A pluses. You can give A's, but you cannot give A pluses. What? And I remember seeing him in his office whiting out the pluses off the like whiting out the little plus
signs. He wasn't allowed
signs.
To give a single A plus, or he was giving them out too freely.
Like you can't give an A plus, like, cause, you know, and so this vision of him whiting out the pluses was like really went in me. And it just, sad. I haven't thought about it in so long. It's one of the most beautiful things I've ever witnessed.
No, that reminds me of, I mean, deeply sad on your deathbed kind of shit, you know, just to see all of the pluses that got wiped out.
Don't you think we meet the same person over and over? Like, he's reminding me of this other person I knew. Yeah. And this kind of goes into, we're talking about past life stuff, but like, you kind of fall in love with the same person over again, right? Or like, there is this thing of like the singular person that we keep chasing. Or, and obviously that's like, oh, well, we try to fall in love or we try to have intimate relationships to heal the wounds of our childhood and to kind of, you know, our belief that we got to get it, we can get it right this time with this person. But there is something about that, this like, one person or these archetypes or these like, or like when you make a new friend and they remind you of an old friend, or you have a kind of a shared intimacy that feels so immediate, like you've known them before. Like, what is that? How much do you read, Jacqueline? I'm experiencing a return to literature.
The return to fiction is 2021, I thought.
Yeah, the return to fiction is 2021. And I have to say, again, because we are, of course, hovering oh so gently around the idea of ADD never to arrive, because that would, it's too hard for us.
Indeed, yeah.
But I did tease in the last episode that I was going to deactivate Twitter. I did. I repeat, I did.
Excuse
me? Not that I'll never return, but I deactivated.
Excuse me? It's done?
I deactivated.
You're gone?
I'm gone. I mean, I will return, but I can't anymore.
Good.
And I'm also, I'm on Instagram. I log on for Poog-related stuff or to like,
sign in.
You know, I do a quick.
Sign in every time.
I can't do it anymore. And I do want to return to fiction. Wait. What was I going to say?
No return to fiction.
Oh, yeah. And I'm just wondering, Jacqueline, because you're a writer. You're one of the great minds. And I'm just wondering.
I'll silently
how
allow
much
that.
Fiction are you consuming?
You know, I always want to read fiction and then I get suckered back to nonfiction.
I'm constantly nonfiction also.
Constantly. No, I'm nonfiction all the time because fiction can't advertise its own ideas. Okay. In the same way. I mean, you could say, yes, it's love, it's loss, it's life on the prairie or whatever. Okay, describing
fiction
a novel.
Is the ultimate propaganda, I would argue. Continue.
No, of course. Okay. But it doesn't sell me in the same way. Where a book that says, for example, I saw it posted by Elise from Goop, Mary Magdalene Revealed, and I had ordered it within 5 minutes. Mary Magdalene Revealed. Obviously, I've been interested in the Magdalene for some time.
The Magdalenian understandings of desire.
Well, just Magdalenian.
Magdalenian is
well, Mimetian last week obviously was a revelation. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, you know what I do find interesting about when they do those things with the names where it's like, oh, like, you know what one of my favorite ones is? So like the fact that Descartes, okay?
Descartes.
Is Cartesian.
Cartesian, yeah. That's
okay, thrills me because it's...
Yeah.
Well, it's like, it's sort of like, you know, like Von Helsing or whatever means like from Helsing, right? Or Van der Bilt, I think means like from the Bilt, okay? And so like those names, and they drop the van. So Descartes' name, I guess, it's like...
Yeah, what is that?
You know, he's Johnny of Carts.
Of Cart, yeah.
Okay, he's Johnny of Carts. And so it's a Cartian idea or Cartesian, right?
Oh, see, this is when I'm like, I need school now. Yeah, but he would famously write was like staring into the flame. Was that like Descartes? Like
he'd write that way?
Yeah, or something. And he would write about like he was...
That I'm
of course
aware
writing
of.
By candlelight, but then would like be staring into the flame. I feel like he wrote some like... There was something he did about looking into the flame or like
to the flame.
Oh, God. Or maybe that was freaking Locke.
I heard a story about Rousseau one time. Yes. I heard a great tale about Rousseau. Every day you could set your watch to it. And, you know, they had to set watches back then, right? Every day at noon or whatever, he would be in the town square. Okay. And typing, writing, or I guess he wasn't typing. Jesus. He'd be in a town square scribbling away. Yeah. Okay, or whatever it was. I forget. And then one day he wasn't there. Are you listening?
Yes. I'm staring at your face.
Okay, because I perceive your eyes as staring into a different window. It's a classic issue.
I think I was captivated by your beauty. And I was just staring.
Thanks. Wait, but I have to tell the anecdote about Rousseau before I forget. It's really simple. The entire town believed he was dead. Okay, because, I mean, he was there that regularly at that time. Okay, and they were like, oh, my God, mm-hmm. Rousseau must be dead if he's not there. He's there mm-hmm. every day. They run to his house. They look in. And they go, where were you? He goes, what? I got caught up in a bit of reading. Okay. Anyway, isn't that hysterical?
Very romantic.
You actually don't seem that impressed.
Yeah, I guess.
Which I guess I should say. Cause, see, I'm so vulnerable immediately after sharing an anecdote
that
I love.
That's rude of me.
That I blind myself to any negative. No, I blind myself to the negative response.
He was
response.
Swept up, but it didn't make me feel negatively of you. I just was trying to, like, I guess I wasn't as moved by the idea that he was, it is romantic. No, I meant it.
No. It's not romantic. I think it's funny. Okay. I think it's funny that an entire town thinks you're dead and you were just caught up in a bit of reading.
Yeah.
That's it.
The town's obsessed with it.
I don't know. I don't know why I love it.
Yeah.
Why do I love it? Why do I think it was worth sharing?
Okay, I'm thinking about it right now.
No, yeah. I mean, maybe I just didn't do as good a job as whoever told it to me, but there's something in me.
No, there is something that there is something
that never forgot it.
Yeah.
The town thinks you're dead because you're not at the place you usually are that people could set their watch by.
God, that's comforting. I mean, that's why I
long for community.
Okay. Long desperately for it. So here I am off social media,
obsessed
right?
Obsessed with community.
I went to the park the other day alone to read like a 19th century whore.
Yeah.
And I was...
Well, you know, I mean, we can get into stupid. That later, but reading is one of my primary fantasies of my saloon whore thing. It's being able to read between the Johns.
Oh my God, of course.
It's the true room of one's own.
Yeah.
Because the kids aren't waiting.
I need to, honestly, I'm humiliated. I really have barely read any Wolf.
Virginia?
Yeah, Virginia. Yeah, Virginia.
I didn't know if you meant Tom.
Oh, Tom Wolfe.
No, yeah. I don't know. For some reason, hearing Wolfe alone.
How much Wolfe? Are you like a To the Lighthouse kind of a gal?
No, I've read like nothing.
I think I read A Room of One's Own when I was, you know, a zygote.
Wait, isn't A Room of One's Own, is A Room of One's Own just an essay?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, is it a single essay that... I feel like it's a single essay inside of a book.
It's a
thin, one of those thin book essay books.
That was then, of course, republished as a... But wait, I wanted to say... Oh, okay. I did want to say about the community thing, which I do long for. I was in the park the other day reading, and then I realized I found some shade, but it was quite hot out. And I've been reading for like maybe an hour. And then I realized I was getting really hot. And I looked down, I glanced down at my hand, and my veins were kind of pulsing, like bulging out of my hand in a scary way. And I went... Well, that's not good. And then I started to kind of get nervous and go, am I about to pass out?
No.
Because I realized I had a hot head. Like I was been sitting, not in the direct sun, but it was
like a MacBook laptop top.
I start to overheat. And I start scanning the meadow looking who's going to save me. And I had to calm myself down. I said, Kate,
fascinating.
You can get up. Yes, Corona, you know, everyone's masked. You can get up and go, hi, I think I'm about to pass out. Like, can you take care of me?
It's fascinating and good for you, self-soothe. I don't sit around thinking I'm about to have an aneurysm.
Yeah, whereas I do.
Now, and it's not just because, you know, what's the point kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by how you always think things are going wrong in your body when you have almost no medical issues.
Well, OCD. But yeah, I know I have to, but I was
right.
But then I started scanning. I was like, okay, who do I know who's home right now? Who's in the area? Who could I call? You know, like I started doing that. And then I had the urge to call someone to anchor me, but then I thought, no, you know what? We're going to push the discomfort. I didn't pass out and I was able to leave the park, though I was quite hot.
It sounds like okay. So you were reading the park for a while, because it sounds like this sort of completely sort of laughable tale of woman decides to go to the park, okay, to experiment with this thing they call reading or whatever, and then, you know, finds her head overheating and leaves before the spine's been cracked.
Well, that's more my style. That
can
kind
you
of
believe
thing.
You used to have to knife your way into books?
What do you mean?
You have to cut the pages to get in. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
Have you seen this? Okay, like the way, like I guess, like a brand new book.
They were sealed with wax.
No, it wasn't even that. It was like, fuck. I don't know. I'm gonna need this Googled now. But it's like a thing where the side that would be normally open, you've like cut the lead. You can't be cutting them all, right? It must just be you cut down and then it opens. I don't know. It's a bit confusing. I mean, I've experimented with bookbinding here with my, you know, of course, with my printing things out, you know, double sided, trying to make little booklets for my own productivity. That's sort of a joke, but I mean, it's literally true. I printed out those things. I was just showing the small quarter size of a page. So printing out a large document, I may
make them small
so it's four pages on a single page, and then slice them and then move them around and experience them as less overwhelming.
Okay, so this is all what you're describing, the book binding, my going to the park to read, and then being overcome with the fear of an aneurysm. These are all ways to avoid.
I hear you,
right?
Okay. And I have had to radically jettison, okay, this notion from my life, okay, which is that's not the focus. That's the stuff getting in the way of the focus.
Right. No, I love that. I love your approach.
Life contains opposing forces.
No, and you and I think you and I also are friends because we both, right, that's kind of our preferred mode. I'm always, my whole life, I long for a routine. I long for structure.
Right.
But it's like,
but you don't.
I actually don't know if I work well within that system. I love having to be somewhere every day.
Yeah.
But like I'm actually okay with just reclining on the couch for 6 days.
I enjoy the interplay, okay, of trying to contain. I had this realization about life. Okay. But about something, about my experience of something. Okay. Which is, and it was around an ice cream cone, but it applied to more. Okay. It was about this, the pleasure of eating an ice cream cone for me involves the attempt to contain, catch up, stay present to the cone. Okay. Because the cone asks you, the cone will not wait.
Yeah.
The cone will not wait.
It demands focus.
You better eat it now.
God, I want one.
And every lick is catching a potential fall.
It's
right?
In the process of decay, much like language itself.
Yes. Okay. And so if you want to enjoy it, you better get in there, right? And it's this containment, it's management, it's keeping the cone alive long enough to consume the cone.
And it's grief.
Right?
It's grief and it's loss because it's so beautiful.
Yes.
It's handed to you and you're constantly having to reckon with the fact that it's dying. And yet you're still experiencing
it. No, it's dying. And so press your lips against the drying rose petals, you know, or whatever, right? So to me, there's that energy. And I love that energy, right? And I would relatedly make that kind of driving up. So there's this, I'm saying containment, but that's not quite it. Okay, but just go with containment for the moment, right? And then I was thinking about at the end of the ice cream cone when it's finished in the sense of loss, okay? And the moment of loss at the end of the ice cream cone, I was going, what is that? And why does it feel so devastating, right? And I realized it's because in those moments, I'm only remembering the joy of containment of a thing where there is another joy and it's a different process. Okay. And it's conjuring. Okay. So here's what it is. I realized like I also enjoy the conjuring elements of life where you have nothing and you create something.
You mean reminiscing about the cone?
No. Two different things in life. There is something that's bigger than me that I'm trying to contain in order to experience, right? It's and the ice cream cone happens. It's happening. It's go. And you gotta rise to the occasion to get as much of it as you can, kind of. Mm-hmm. And that's great. And I love that feeling. And then it's gone and it's sad. And suddenly I want another thing to contain. I'm forgetting that there's another thing I enjoy, which is the conjuring of something out of nothing. So the eating the ice cream is making us, eating, right? Eating is, these are like elemental and abstract to me. And it felt like a huge realization. And it's like, I'm trying to figure it out.
No, I feel like something's there and I want
it. It's like, I remembered that I was really meditating at on the sorrow at the end of the ice cream, right? And I would say Christmas. Always with eating, and I want it to go endlessly. Okay. I want it to go on. Right. And so it would almost be like, right, the sadness of taking down the Christmas tree and the blankness of the new year, let's say, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, oh, wait, I forgot that the other kind of joy I enjoy is a deadness, is a nothingness that I am going to work to pull something to create life out of. Mm. So it's not containment. Containment is something overwhelming that you're trying to sip off a part of, right? You're trying to get it while you can.
You need the ice cream cone to be gone. Is that what you're saying? You need to arrive at the sadness of the cone
let me just see if I have a the metaphor. Okay, let me just try it one more time. So let me start with the original thought process. Okay, and I wrote like 30 pages on this, so it's in there somewhere. Okay, because I was like, Jesus, this is like exhausting me writing about this ice cream cone. And that's my like OCD. I became obsessed with picture it outside of this place that, you know, I had ice cream growing up, whatever. All right. What I'm specifically talking about with the ice cream cone is the fact that it's an unfolding experience in time that you are on its schedule. Okay.
Right. Okay.
It is not still. It is happening. And you can either show up for it or not. Right. Like and every lick of the ice cream cone is to prevent, you know, you lick at the parts that are melting. Right.
Yeah.
So you're containing and you're maintaining the existence of the ice cream cone through it as it sort of dies. And
you're helping it die.
Yeah. But that is all incredibly metaphorically interesting, but I'm just isolating this one point. Okay. Which is, there's something there and you're trying to sip off of it. It's hunting versus it's not creative. It's consuming. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I also enjoy when there is nothing and I have to create something out of that deadness. So it's like I enjoy both, but I forget that I also enjoy that other side while I'm finishing the ice cream cone. So it's like my ADD or my whatever you want to call it, my brain like thinks like, okay, so I just had an ice cream cone. I loved that experience. I need to have that again and again and again. And I want to do it until the only thing that will kick me off of eating anything that I'm enjoying is, you know, nausea. It's only nausea that will get me there. Pain in the stomach certainly won't. I can tolerate pain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. Maybe I'll cover it on a future poog. I'll pull out the ice cream cone essay or whatever.
I want to know though what you mean about this enjoying the other.
I mean that there are like licking a plate till it's clean. Okay. You know, and then, okay, it's done. I've consumed it. That was great. So here's what I'm saying. So certain things that are wonderful and to be enjoyed are diminishing in real time. They have to be, you have to step up and they will not wait, right? The ice cream cone will not wait.
It's melting. Yeah.
You can freeze it. And those have their own weird kind of Frankenstein sort of.
Ew.
They do have their own weird, disgusting, but deliciousness, like a. You ever have one of those supermarket frozen ice cream cones? The way the waffle is like melted and soft. It's its own perversion that has its own pleasure to it, I will say. Okay. Yeah. But so it's this wealth of something and you're hurrying to enjoy it, to take it in, to consume it, to right? It's not gonna last. It's that kind of spirit. What will wait for you, what does wait for you, what is not on the like a melting ice cream cone is here and now in the physical plane. It's happening. It's one part of life, right? It's things dwindling and you better get them or not, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other part of life that will wait for you, and I tend to often prefer, is, you know, sort of the dead endlessness of infinite possibility. It just sits there, right? Nothingness is has the potential to you make something out of it. So it's like,
right, okay.
And I to make myself at peace at the end of the ice cream cone, I have to remind myself that I also enjoy conjuring energy. So there's containing or consumption energy that obviously I get a great deal of pleasure out of. But there's also conjuring energy that I get pleasure out of.
You mean, and is the conjuring energy you sitting there going, I want an ice cream cone? I want another ice cream cone?
No, it's more like, it would in this example, it would be more like, okay, well, I'm sad that ice cream cone's over. Not, okay, now I need to create an ice cream cone. But, you know, what's better? You know, a melting ice cream. In one room, you have a melting ice cream cone. Okay. In the other room, you have nothing. Okay. Let's put it that way, right? Okay. An empty room with a chair. In the other room, an empty room with a chair and an ice cream cone. Okay. Now the ice cream cone room, you're allowed 5 minutes in.
Okay.
The nothing room, you're allowed an infinite time in.
An eternity in?
Yeah.
Isn't that death? Isn't the room in which nothing happens and it lasts for eternity the state of death, of personal death?
Is your
life not itself an ice cream cone? How can you enjoy the nothing?
You're seeing in the nothingness and in the death potential.
I'm just actually pushing back a little bit on the idea. In general, I don't think we can use any of that.
No, I know we can't.
And by the way, I have to pee.
Let's break.
Oh, here it is.
Tired of hangovers stealing your precious time? Say bye-bye to regret and hello to prevention with Akalo wearable vitamin patches.
Made in the USA with pharmaceutical-grade materials, these patches are your secret weapon to stopping hangovers before they start. This is the first time they've run a promo like this.
For a limited time, first-time buyers get 50% off.
Don't lose another moment to a hangover.
Go to akalo.co and enter POOG50 to get yours today.
That's akalo.co, code POOG50. Cheers to a hangover-free life.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout. And woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, you know, we did attempt to continue this conversation moments ago. And we went down a path and there's all this excitement and then and we're jumping around and that's some of the joy, right? The joy is the jumping around. But then sometimes with the kind of hyper-focus, I feel my brain pull me towards something and I can't fucking get off of it.
Can't
so I just spent the last 20 minutes talking about like the metaphor of an ice cream cone, you know?
No, I understand.
I shouldn't shit on myself. You know,
no!
What is this?
What are you talking about? Of course not. It's just that I relate. So listener, brilliant Jacqueline is working on a kind of existential, she's trying to kind of find the language to contain this existential conundrum or this issue of an ice cream cone, which again, you just recorded for a while and she's still working it out, which for me is a great joy to listen to a great mind work out a budding theory. And I think you are trying to actually arrive at an idea that's truly interesting. And so therefore the jargon won't serve you. You can't just rely on the bullshit that say I might rely on to try to get an idea across, because what you're actually trying to come up with is an actual idea. No.
Look, I think crying could be a great part of the podcast.
Don't cry. Are you crying? Here's what I'm going to understand. I don't see how you could be crying. Are you crying because you feel like you didn't, like you're still untangling what this theory is?
No, I'm crying out of the humiliation of being seen as I am.
No. What are you talking
about?
I mean,
I'm crying out of the extreme vulnerability of just like, I mean, for one, I cry. There's just that. You know what I mean? And I don't stop it because as someone who's dealt with depression, it's really important for me not to.
I love that you cry.
Shuttle. shuttle my emotions. You know, down.
No, cry.
Then what will happen? So I have to let it out, same with anger, okay? When I, on a rare occasion, anything actually crosses up into the conscious level or actually makes its way through my body in the form of tears, you know, it's like, well, it's a hallelujah, really.
No,
it's not the utter the deadening. You know what I'm saying? So I have to let it through.
Please.
Where others would try to, whatever, I have to almost milk it and create more. You know what I mean? Because
no, cry. Absolutely. As you know, I classically am not a crier, but have tried, I think, just the brutality of the year and everything. I've been crying more and it's good. It's really good.
Well, you know, you know, I don't know.
I just want to say, I was truly honored and interested in you teasing out this idea, and I could care less if you arrive at it in some neat, you know, conclusion at the end. You're writing about it currently. You're figuring it out.
I just wish sometimes, I mean, this is the endless question, but I just wish that, I don't know, I do not know whether it's better in this life. This is the same question over and over again. Do I want to work hard to hide the you know, are the qualities of my personality or my habits or my ways, are they something to overcome or are they something to embrace and treat as a feature, not a bug or whatever?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. It's the endless question. And I'm annoyed that I wrestle with it still. No. Because I'm not sure. Obviously the like, you know, the hashtag would be like, fly your freak flag. And I'm fucking tired of that also. And I, you know that I'm into transformation. And I like to believe that, you know, we can do whatever the fuck we want to do, right? And so if I want to be someone who doesn't spend 20 minutes on an unfinished ice cream idea, that would be much more impressive if I fucking got it together on my own and delivered it.
No, no, I completely, completely disagree. You spending 20 minutes figuring out the unfinished ice cream cone idea is magnificent to witness, I want to also argue, it's not like you're presenting that as some, you know what I mean? you're presenting it as something that you are working through and figuring it out. Like, who cares? I
just can't decide. And I know that, I guess the answer is that I like to like things to be extreme. So I like, it's easier to say, I accept every part of myself, right? And whatever the fuck I do naturally must be perfect because I'm specific and I'm my own. And so there it is, you know, mm-hmm. like no editing here, folks, you know, straight to the audience or whatever. Yeah. And then the other part of me, you know, knows that, and I don't know, I can't decide how much to control or attempt to control who I am in the world according to what I think is, you know, attractive, interesting, and cool. Like, because I also think it's a disservice to work on yourself and make yourself attractive, cool, and interesting.
Agreed.
And then just serve that up. That's just, you know, utterly violent.
Yeah. No, completely.
So it's one or the other almost. It's like, no, I'm a hard worker who figures it out, and you gotta, you know, or am I the other? And it's just, it's not one or the other, of course. There, you know, and I just wish it was more, I don't know. But I always try to cry freely when it comes up, because hiding tears is just utter.
No, you can't hide them. Foolishness. No, and I think what you're talking about is something like very profound, and what to hide, what to conceal, what to actually make an effort to change or transform about oneself, and then what to kind of embrace and kind of allow to be unfinished or messy or even painful or difficult. Like, there are parts of ourselves that are really difficult to reckon with and hard to fucking live with. Like, there are parts of just who we are that trouble us and upset us and are embarrassing. And yet there it is. And it's the self-acceptance, like this, you know, like self-acceptance, like these are all kind of big words that and big ideas that also it's important to critique, but
they can be impractical. Even on the interior. I mean, it's like,
so another thing that's like thrown around a lot that I feel like isn't really investigated is ideas of like self-compassion.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like me being like the trying to soothe you in this moment or something and be like self-compassion, but it's actually is real. Like, self-compassion is actually really demanding and not easy.
No, I'm just like, I'm still
the thing that you're striving for, you're never going to, this is the way that you get to it. You're not going to wake up tomorrow. Do you know what I mean? I just feel like knowing you, like the thing that you are after, you're after it right now in this process of you trying to articulate or find something. This is your process. Right. You're always going to be, you know, screaming at the wall going, oh God, how do I do it or something? Right. Cause I also relate in the sense of like, it's just,
no, the problem is like, I think what I'm stewing on right now is like, so I also do believe that the gold, whatever the or my unique gold, so to speak, as with many people's, it would be like my unique gold is completely threaded with my unique fecal matter. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so it's like, and I do believe, you know, I do have this, you know, almost embarrassing belief that there is some gold there, right? And so then the utter ego of it is that I essentially, you know, I feel like I'm asking people to, I'm telling people that the gold of my soul is gold enough that they should like it with a taste of shit.
Yeah.
That they should swallow shit whole because there's gold in there. And so so it's this weird thing where, you know, the ego is, I don't know, I lost it, but it's just, there's something about like, I'm embarrassed by the fact that I, you know, we'll defend saying like, and we'll defend all these things and defend, you know, all these factors, convinced that it's worth it. And there's this baseline, like, I don't know what, like, and I kind of think everyone should feel that way. I don't know.
It is worth it. You feel that for a reason.
I mean, I'm also convinced, like, I also am convinced there's no other option but to take, like, there's not that much time, right, in, you know, tangible life. Incarnated life, there's not that much time necessarily to fix or change all the things that may be potentially doorways to, you know, you being a specific person, right? So it's like, I do lean more towards, let's, like, I'd rather, if there's something I have to bring to the world, I'd rather it be like shit that's veined with gold than the thing that
is pure, but it's just wood. I give you pure wood over here, which would take a lot of effort for me.
You don't want pure wood.
Right? Or you get shit and gold.
You want shit and gold. And I'm sorry, but I don't have the strength to Google, but there's serious connections historically between gold and shit. And shit as being, you know, a prize. And so, wooden. What are you striving for? Like,
I have this belief, and it's kind of a dramatic, almost like fairy tale idea that, like, well, surely the gold is in the shit, because it wouldn't make a good story if the wood was just in a pile of wood. Like, it's this. See, I want to use the word fetishize right now, which is a perfect example of just almost meaningless at this point to say fetishize, right?
No.
Like
one of my favorites.
No, one of my favorites as well. But I do think fetishizing,
But you're worried that you're fetishizing your shit, or that somehow you've made in your mind that for you to have gold, it has to come with shit instead of, well, what if it were just gold or something? Is that what you're saying? Like, why you feel like you're demanding that you feel like you are
right.
You have some kind of mental.
I'm making it more special by noting the shit in this other weird way. I mean, this is like seven layers of me trying to like hate myself.
Yeah, okay, it sounds like you're just trying to
every modality possible.
You're trying to understand how much you should hate yourself, and I'm telling you, probably not much at all.
Wait, I'm just looking for a tissue. Hold on.
She's gone. She's looking for a tissue.
I am gonna pull it together. Hold on. I mean, I have a relevant example, but I feel like, which is just literally that I was so upset because someone emailed me about the podcast saying, you know, you gotta say okay less. They posted it on a comment and I responded with like an essay long response and
Jacqueline,
then deleted it. Whatever.
We also will note that somebody that I also someone commented.
Go.
Oh, sorry, go.
No, you feel free. I mean, we've heard enough of my shitty voice.
That very okay. Yeah. Someone recently said they want on a shirt.
Yes. So two things have occurred. You know, a week ago or a couple weeks ago, whenever that was, someone commented and said, you know, Jacqueline, could you say okay a little less? It was quite a bit in this particular episode. And I, you know, run to Theta saying, you gotta, you know, cut more okays or whatever. And then I cry on the couch to Chris again about the okay. And I'm like, I have to cry about it because if I don't, I'll push it down. You know what I mean? So it's this thing where I ground it. It's almost like forcing it out. It's like forcing out the vomit, you know, because I do see a lot of meaningful comparisons between vomiting and crying, because it's like you can kind of like force it out. You can sort of like be unsure if it's going to happen. And sometimes it just like bursts out of you, whatever. So it's like, I was like, and it's like that thing where you're performing the cry almost to yourself, like to not stop it. So I was just like, I have to just cry it out. It's embarrassing. And I'm just like trying to get it out faster through more forceful crying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was like, like just like a full and you know, just whatever. I feel embarrassed. And then yesterday I'm cooking dinner and Chris is on the couch and I'm like, oh my God, Chris, by the way, like someone commented on how they like the okays.
Uh-huh.
Right. And so I am thus at the, I was like, and you know, I mean, I guess if I am enjoying someone liking me for the thing, I've not solved the problem. I'm still living in the existence of caring what other people think about me saying okay. Right. It's like, that's like the YouTube comment issue, right? It's like, I remember Chelsea Peretti said to me in 2006, okay, when I was like about something about disabling, she was talking about disabling, you know, comments on YouTube, right? She's like, why do I have to, you know, the internet's open, you can create a forum in which to discuss how much you don't like me, why do I have to give you one right below my work, you know what I mean? Like, why do I have to provide one for you immediately below your work? And I was like, I know, but I think I'm like, but I want the compliments, you know, like I don't want to disable, because you don't need the compliments.
Cool.
It's like, and so it's like I'm crying at it earlier in the week, and then I'm rejoicing that I'm liked for it. And it's like, okay, neither of those things are true and real, right? Like, you know, I don't know. Are we allowed to like being liked?
Yes, we are.
If you welcome a compliment as true, as meaningful. Oh, look, so-and-so said, I'm the most brilliant whatever. Look at this YouTube commenter. They get it. Okay, YouTube commenters do know what they're talking about. And then you go to the next comment,
it's
your vagina should be filled with sand or something. Was one comment I once received, and actually, I think that was a direct message. But we're also here to live and engage with people and not be in a state of transcendence all the time. So you know that, and that's. I do think the tears are a way that perhaps you know I'm brought back into to the human experience out of my head.
Yeah, no, there's something there.
Me crying on Poog has been an inevitability, okay, for some time. And I'm relieved that perhaps happened. It's just finally here because now we've broken the seal. Now people know I'm a crier. I mean, it's not unlike when I become a regular at a restaurant the first time they, you know, see me cry there. Yeah. It's probably a shock. But now I know I can go to that restaurant and cry freely and it won't, you know.
It won't scare the maitre d'.
Yeah. And I, if you've dealt with depression at any point in your life, I just, you know, which can be a kind of shut off of emotion. When they come, you must let them. You must.
Yes.
So I don't know that it'll probably happen more and more. And I, actually, the more comfortable I get, that's the other thing. Like the more and more, like I'm so comfortable here with you that then the tears come.
Yeah. Whatever. I hope you
can. I don't know. Maybe my crying will not be on the episode. I don't know if I'm being too presumptuous.
I think your crying is radical. I think people need to hear you cry and you rejoicing in the crying and laughing through the crying. Crying should be more, people should openly cry much more. I think as a society, we would have more potentially love for ourselves and each other if we could just openly weep. Right? I mean, I think so.
It would be a good time to plug my book, actually, if we may. It could be a good natural plug for my book, I will say. My book's called How to Weep in Public, in case you forgot.
And it's fantastic, those of you
Cut
listening.
The book plug. It's too embarrassing. But I just felt like it was almost weird that because I realized we're talking extensively about, and I'm not mentioning it. Like, it's like, was this all a big fake book ad? Whatever.
That was Poog. If you enjoyed Poog, please subscribe, rate, and review. If not, we will press charges.
Tired of hangovers stealing your precious time? Say bye-bye to regret and hello to prevention with Akalo wearable vitamin patches.
Made in the USA with pharmaceutical-grade materials, these patches are your secret weapon to stopping hangovers before they start. This is the first time they've run a promo like this.
For a limited time, first-time buyers get 50% off.
Don't lose another moment to a hangover.
Go to akalo.co and enter POOG50 to get yours today.
That's akalo.co, code POOG50. Cheers to a hangover-free life.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.